This pasuk that we begin the parasha with, Kisete lemelchama levecha, is very, very powerful. And I just want to share a thought with all of you in maybe pshat in the pasuk, Kisete lemelchama levecha, when you're going to wage war against your enemy. And Chazal tell us, Leidibra Torah, Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara. A lot of times we think that our enemy or our Yetzer Hara is a taiva. It's a desire. My Yetzer Hara is my laziness. My Yetzer Hara is something specific. Like I remember, I don't know if they still had this, but I remember when I was in elementary school, it was like our Rebbe, when there would be like a fly flying around by the window, you know, and you're distracted, he would say, that's the Yetzer Hara, which could be true, but I wish that was the Yetzer Hara. I wish my Yetzer Hara was just a fly on the wall. And I wish almost that the Yetzer Hara would be as simple as a taiva. But it's not. It's much deeper than that. Your Yetzer Hara in the Torah is called your enemy. Kisetzei lamelchama levecha is an enemy. That means just like you driving, a person driving into Chas V'Shalom, a village where there's a red sign that says, by the way, don't drive in here or walk in here if you're an Israeli citizen, by the way, which is fake news. Just, it's always good to remember, parenthetically, unless you're looking at Chazal or you're learning the Torah, you could probably assume that something is not true if you read it. Just because you read an article in a magazine or in a news thing, not just because. Most probably it's more close to not being true than it is true. So just like you say, driving in, if you're an Israeli, next time you see one of those signs, it says, if you're an Israeli citizen, it is dangerous. That's not true. Because if you're an Arab Israeli citizen, it's not dangerous. It really should say, quote unquote, yeah, exactly. There you're allowed to say should. It's supposed to say on that sign, if you are a Jew, you have to be careful because you'll get killed. But it doesn't say that. That's not my business. We're not in the make the signs business. We're in much deeper things than that. We're telling lies. We try not to tell lies. As I say many times, it's the beginning of the year, so I want to chazer over to let everybody know this. I don't try and speak the truth because that's way, way too powerful to say. Like, I'm speaking the truth. I want you to hear the truth. Because that's a very strong card to pull, especially if you have a beard and you have a chumash. You say, I'm telling you the truth. I try not to say I'm telling you the truth. But I could say that I try and say things that are true. I like to say things that are true. I like to speak things that are true. It's very different than saying I'm telling you the truth. So just like you walking a person, Chas V'Shalom, going to a village, he's going to get killed, Chas V'Shalom, because it's your enemy. Your enemy wants to kill you. What does that mean, your enemy wants to kill you? He wants to destroy your life. So Kiseitza L'Melchama L'Ivecha, Chazal is teaching us, they're teaching us the Torah. The Torah is teaching us, how do I fight against this thing that is my Oyev? And I want to start with that's maybe the first step. The first step is that it's not the fly on the wall. It's not maybe that taiva that you think is the Yetzihara. The Yetzihara wants you to have a miserable life. And your life having a miserable life doesn't mean when you're 30 years old. Doesn't mean when you're 40 years old, because then it's a little bit harder to turn back the clock. That's why I love what I do. I love hanging out with Chevra. I've had this many times when I speak to more of an audience, or I'm involved with an audience when someone's 30, 40, 50. I'm like, I'm not really sure what to tell you at this point. Like, you have a bad marriage. You're not the best father. You're not happy with what you do. I don't know what to tell you. Obviously, ain yush ba'olam. You know, and you could always change no matter how old you are, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And I'm not saying anything negative about someone who's maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. And it's harder. It's much, much harder. I love hanging out over here and hanging out with Chevra, where you actually can realize that you can create exactly the life that you want to create. And you can live that life that you want to live. And you know what these things do to us? It's not just, oh, I'm falling into my taiva. I'm falling into my desire. It's not the people pleasing. Mirtz Hashem will talk, and I know there's a first year trip tomorrow. We'll see what timing-wise if we'll do the No Mic Monday. But it's Sunday, so it's Mic Sunday, right? So we're not going to talk about it so much, right? But what's the pshat? The pshat is that it's not so much. It's not so much the people pleasing that's your problem. You think the people pleasing is your problem. It's not the pshat that you're a people pleaser that's your problem. It's not the pshat that your desires are your problem. It's not your anxiety that's your problem. That might be a problem that you have. But what it is that it'll destroy you, that you won't be able to be you and be free to live the life that you want to live. And to be the person who you want to become. That's Kiseitzai Lemelchama Aleivecha. Your enemy is not just there to say, oh, sleep a little bit late. Hang out with the crew that you don't really want to hang out with, but you have trouble detaching from that. It's don't be true to yourself. Don't be true to yourself, because if you're not true to yourself, you're actually killing yourself, basically. You're actually not living the life that you want to live. You're living someone else's life, whether it's your father's life, whether it's your mother's life, whether it's society, whatever you want to chalk it up on. But for me to be tuned in to me, I think the Baruch from Mezhba says, who's in Gullus? One of the tzaddikim said, who's in Gullus? The Ani is in Gullus. I'm in Gullus. The I. The being able to be true to myself. So, kiseitze la melchama alei vecha. The first step to battle your Yetzahara is to realize that this Yetzahara is there to destroy me. It's one of the benefits of being an addict. There are many benefits to not being an addict, but there are also many benefits to being an addict. One of the benefits of being an addict and accepting the fact that you're an addict is you accept the fact that I'm an addict. And if I take a drink, or if I gamble, or if I, whatever your addiction is, or I smoke something, or I'm on my phone. People do have addictions to their phone, to watching certain things that it's an addiction. The mile of the addict is he knows that this will kill him. The chesaron of the non-addict, the chesaron of the, oh no, but I'm not an addict, but I'm okay. The weakness of that is you might not realize that it's like that that experiment they did with the frog. They boiled up water. I'll start the other way. They took a pot of water and slowly boiled it up and put a frog in there. I don't know who did this, but you could probably ChatGPT it. They put a frog in the water pot and slowly it was boiling. What happened? The frog did not jump out and it died. They took boiling water and they threw the frog in and the frog jumped out. Why? Because the slow, another day here, another day. The Yetzirah will never tell you, I'm going to ruin your year. Yetzirah doesn't talk like that, because there's no way you would buy the Yetzirah saying he's going to ruin your year. He's not going to tell you, oh, this is your problem. That's what I'm saying. The mila, the benefit of the addict, is the addict knows. Anyone know how it goes? One shot is too many. How does it go? Someone know this over here? Where is everybody? Where are all the chevra? Right? How does it go? One shot is not enough, and
one shot is too little, and one shot is.
No, you would know. Right, something like that. It's too many. 1,000 is too many, or is not enough. Yeah. One shot is too much, something like that. Basically, you can't touch it, because if you know you touch it, you're done. You're done. So the Yetzirah is not going to tell you you're going to have a terrible year. But the Yetzirah could tell you you'll have a terrible day.
One drink is too many and 1,000 is never enough.
Right. One drink is too many and 1,000 is never enough. Yes, Zach.
Would he say in the same way, let's say, an addict would say, I'm powerless over my addiction?
Yes, yes.
The first step of the Yetzirah is to say, I'm powerless.
Oh, beautiful. So here we go. Beautiful, Zach. Beautiful, Zach. Beautiful segue. See, Zach, we rehearsed well, Zach. Beautiful. Perfect timing. 6:08. Perfect timing. Kiseitze lamelchama levecha. What's the next word? Unesanoi Hashem Eloikecha biadecha. How do you fight your enemy? First, you have to realize that this enemy is not just a fly on the wall. It's not just the stuff you're watching. It's not just your laziness, your lack of relationship with your mother, your father, your siblings, your insecurities, your social anxiety, ... It's there to destroy you. It's there to destroy you. It's an oyev. It's a real enemy. If the Torah calls your yetzer an oyev, I trust the Torah. And what does it say after that? What's Zach saying? Unesana yashem alkecha biyadecha. The first step is to realize this is a present from Hashem. Imagine if you looked at it like that. Imagine if you looked at your weaknesses. Imagine if you looked at your biggest problem, that it's a gift wrapped from Hashem specifically for you. He gave you your father. He gave you your mother. He made you the oldest in your family. He made you the youngest in your family. He put you in this situation. He gave you everything that he gave you. He delivered it to you and gave it to you exactly. You know why? Not to destroy you, but unesane Hashem alakecha b'yadecha. Because once you're able to receive that gift, and you're able to accept the fact that this is from Hashem, and I want to talk about this in a second, we'll hopefully get between what that means that it's from Hashem, but the person hurt me. The person hurt me. So wait, am I supposed to be upset at Hashem? Am I supposed to be upset at the person who hurt me? I'll suggest, this is parenthetical, maybe both. Maybe you could be both. Maybe they ganged up on you. You have the person now. Obviously, the highest level is when a person realizes that nobody could do anything to me. Nobody could touch me. It's all Hashem. That's already a harder level to get to, but we'll talk about that. But the first step is to realize, unesana Hashem alokecha b'yadecha. This thing that you think is your enemy is actually your key to success. This people-pleasing part that you have, this social anxiety that you have, this problem that you have at home, this challenge that you have with Hashem, whatever it might be, name any problem that anybody can have. When you realize that this is a gift from Hashem for you, then what does the pasuk say? Unesani Hashem alakecha b'yadecha v'shavisa shavyo. Then you will be able to take care of it and you'll be fine. You will be fine. You will be fine. Because part of the problem is usually that I'm fighting the problem. Let's give an example. Huh? To capture it. It's mine. It's under my power. I'm the one who captured it. I'm the boss. I'm the master over it. What usually happens to us is like this. What usually happens is we have a problem, and we get stuck in the fact that I have a problem. This is very, very, just bear with me. You have a problem. Pick a problem that you have, and what happens is we spend most of the time fighting the fact that I have that problem. So I don't even end up dealing with the problem because I'm so busy beating myself up or challenging myself. Why do I have this? Why do I have this? Why can't I be like this? I should be different. I should be this. I shouldn't be in this situation. That I don't even deal with it because I haven't accepted the fact that this is what I need to deal with. This is what I need to deal with. And this is what Hashem has given on a platter, on a plate to me. And the more it bothers you and the more clear it is that it bothers you, the more it's clear that it's from Hashem. Because Hashem gives us everything that we need to become who we want to become. He gives us everything. And the more clear it is that this is blocking me, the more a person can stop and say, okay, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Is this something that's going to take me a year to deal with? Is it going to take me 2 years? Is it going to take me a month? How much therapy do I need? Do I need therapy? What type of therapy? Is a Rebbe going to help me? Is this what? Where is this from? And most of the time, we live in denial, which stands for Rosh Tevis. Don't even notice I am lying. What does that mean? Don't even notice I am lying. What does that mean? It means I'm living in the world of like, no, I'm good. It's all good. I'm all good. But you're not good. Why are you saying you're good, but you're not good? Okay, yeah, I'll answer this. I'll answer that. I'll answer that. I'll answer like this. I'll answer like that. As opposed for a person to say, okay, you know what? Like Isaac was saying over Shabbos, so powerful from the Yanuka. It's really, I want to like hear it. I just want to hear it again that he said it so clearly. Like, what did you... People think that tshuva is complicated. Tshuva is not complicated. Tshuva is being clear and honest that I did this wrong. I hurt myself. It's not even Hashem. Hashem's fine. Hashem is fine. I hurt myself. Can I apologize to myself? Do I owe myself an apology for not living the life that I want to live? Maybe I owe myself an apology. Maybe the whole teshuva, you know, it's funny. Everyone talks about teshuva means really to return to, some of the tzaddikim tell us. They tell us it's about returning to yourself. I thought it's about returning to Hashem. What's the answer? Hainuach. It's the same thing. Returning to Hashem means I'm returning to myself. Hashem's fine. Hashem's perfect. Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. I was going to ask you, Elio, I want to go through the words. I don't want to do it in this forum. But I'm not sure who's talking. I heard Hashem talking to me in your song. Not me talking to Hashem. I want to go through the words. I love the words, but I want to turn it the other way. I'm never going to let go. He's not going to let go of me. He needs me. I don't know the words, but as I was listening a little bit to you, I was like, holy cow, that's pretty incredible. Give me another sentence that would work with that. Of your song. What? Okay, not that one. Something about the yearning of the relationship. That what? I never going to let you. I don't know. What a.
I've got nothing to lose.
One more.
All I have is you.
Maybe Hashem is saying that to us. All I have is you. Because maybe that's true. How crazy would that be if you start flipping? I want to go through the words with you. All I have is you. Because Hashem needs you. Hashem needs you. Hashem wants you. Hashem created you with your... Yeah, what else? Hashem created you with your... Whatever he created you with. And he gave that to you. He gave that to you as a gift. He gave that to you so you can accept it and say, wow, it hurts sometimes to look in the mirror. Because we don't want to see ourselves. Because you know what would happen if we saw ourselves and saw the true me? It's not that I would be ashamed of who I am. It means that I might be able to then break out and open up and become who I really can become. Maybe it's that greatness. Maybe it's that greatness that I have within me that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of seeing the beauty in me. I'm afraid to see how powerful I am. I'm afraid to see how I really can do tshuva. Ki karev elecha hadavar me'oid means it's so close. Maybe I'm okay. Maybe I'm really okay. Maybe I just need to stop being in denial and being afraid of my problems instead of me embracing my problems and saying, okay, this is what Hashem gave me. He gave me a mother like this. He gave me a father like this. He gave me a head like this. He gave me the looks that I look like this. This is what he gave to me. I need to unwrap the gift that he gave me instead of looking at the person next to me, his gift that Hashem gave him. I think one of the tzaddikim said that at the end of the day, if everybody would choose again, if you would choose again, the tzaddikim say, very good, I agree, Reuven Yonah. If it's true that if you would choose again your life, and then I'm going to end off with this, I want to hear some feedback and some questions and comments on this one. It's brought down, Alpi, the Sifrei Kabbalah and the tzaddikim. If you were put down in this world again, and you started all over, and Hashem said, this is when you're going to be born, these are going to be the challenges that you're going to go through. This is going to be everything perfect, exactly what happened up till right now in your life. You would take it again. You know why? Because deep down, that is who you are. And deep down, that's who you are. In the moment, we get lost in the moment. But deep down, I would choose the same father, the same mother, the same family, to be born at the same time, to go through the same exact things that I've gone through till this moment. Incredible. Okay, question, comments, please. Can't be that. Come on. Someone's got to have something. Comments. Questions. It can't be that clear. Yes, it is.
Just mentioned that.
Yeah.
The way that I heard it is that Hashem basically put everyone's back.
Yes, you would take that pebble. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wasn't referring to that. That's also true. Right. That's also true. You would pay all the money in the world for yours. Right. They say before a person came down to this world, Hashem showed you your whole entire life, what you're going to go through. He said, I'm in. That's why they say on Rosh Hashanah, you say, Asher loy nasa lashov nafshi. Because you swore on that, I'll go down with that. I'll go with down there. Go down with that. Yes. It's even harder as you get to our age a little bit. It's a little bit harder because the regret is much deeper. When you're 18, 19 years old, your regret is much less because you've only been around for less. So the less time of damage you've done to yourself, the less regret. The older you get, the harder it is. It's much harder. It's much harder to accept that. So thank you. I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for speaking up. Welcome. And you have a wonderful son. We're just getting to know him. Yeah, yeah. Good.
Yeah, bring it closer.
Conquered already. Yeah. It was hard at the time, and then looking back, you're like, I see how it was all part of the plan, and now it all worked out, and like, see how at that time it could have been bad, and now it's great.
Right.
What would you say while you're in that situation, when you don't see the other side yet?
So, what
was
your question
then? What would you? It's easy sometimes after the situation to see how the
everything
worked out for the benefit.
Right.
What would you say as a I don't know, some advice while you're there?
I mean, while you're in a situation, how to make the best decision, or
when you or you feel you messed up in the moment now. It's not in the past? Is that what you're asking?
No. Look, you're during the situation before you see the good side.
Meaning it's bad. What you've done is you feel terrible about what you've done or whatever it is,
but
and you don't
know whatever situation you're in, it's not you don't see it right now and how it was all great.
Right. Right, it stinks.
Yeah.
Good, that's what I was hoping someone... Well, I'm sorry, I apologize just because we're... What, Akiva. Thank you, Akiva. Akiva. So good. So if I'm understanding you right, Akiva, you're asking, so what do I do when it stinks and I messed up or the situation's messed up and I haven't been able to connect that to Hashem? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Great. At that point, I would still be... in the world of it stinks, it's terrible, and I'm in pain, and it hurts me. Remember, anger, very important foundation and fundamental to know your whole life. Anger is the cover up of hurt. So when you're angry at someone, you're hurt by somebody. It's much easier to be angry at someone than it is to be hurt to someone. Anger and hurt, the anger, the sadness, we'll call it, is anger turned in. Anger is sadness turned out. Anger is sadness turned out, and sadness is anger turned in, which means a lot of times I'm angry at someone. It really means that I haven't accepted the fact that I'm hurt by someone. I would start with that. You want to start with, where am I at? Am I angry at my father? Am I angry at my mother? Am I angry at that Rebbe? Am I angry at the system, whatever that means? Am I angry at this institution? Am I angry at God? Am I hurt? Have I accepted the fact that God hurt me? I feel that Hashem hurt me. I feel that my father hurt me. I feel that my roommate hurt me. So the first step, Akiva, which is a great, great question. And most people bypass, which is actually, thank you, Hashem. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to sing Pesach Libi B'Sarasecha, is because we're learning Torah. I wanted it to be clear. is that a lot of times we will bypass and say it's all Hashem, it's all Hashem. But I haven't dealt with the pain and the hurt that I have. Is that helpful? Okay.
Shouldn't the goal be to be happy throughout?
Right.
Not only afterwards?
Okay, good. So you said a word that's a beautiful word, right? And we'll talk about it because it's the beginning of the year. So we'll do a little chazara. You said, shouldn't you? Now, shouldn't. Yeah, sorry. But let me just explain why that's... I'll explain to you why that's a problem. Because shouldn't means that I really don't feel that way. And I really am hurt. And really that person hurt me. And really the situation is a terrible situation. And it stinks. But I shouldn't be hurt. We'll talk about this probably more on No Mic Monday. I should be happy with everything that happens to me. Because I know that Gam Zulatova and everything is from Hashem. And it's not only is it not natural, it's not true. Meaning, yes, do I have a part of me that I know my neshama, and there's a part of me that believes that everything is for the good? I'll give you the example that I like to give. Right? When it comes to hurting your knee, right? If I bang my knee over here and my knee is throbbing, does my knee hurt? Yes. Can I say that it's from Hashem? Yes. Does my knee still hurt? Yes. I like that. Why do I like that example? Because it's very clear. I'm hurt, my knee is throbbing, and I'm able to say it's from Hashem. Emotionally, when we get hurt, and there's a raya, which is worse? Emotional hurt or physical hurt? Emotional hurt. Not because we're in 2025. Nothing to do with that. In 1939, 1941, it's the same thing. In the 1800s, it's the same thing. In the 1700s, the 1500s, emotional hurt is much more than physical hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. Whoever made that up lied to you, just like the sign that says no Israeli citizen can come in. Same lie. It's not true. That is not true. It depends on your love language. If your love language is words of affirmation versus physical touch, your highest primary love language is that, for sure names will hurt you much more. But for some reason, when it comes to physical hurt, we're able to experience that physical hurt and say, it's from Hashem. It's from Hashem. But for some reason, when it comes to nafshi, when it comes to emotional stuff, we get all whacked out. We get all whacked out. We get all confused. I am hurt. I'm supposed to be hurt. I shouldn't be hurt. It's all min hashamayim. I believe in Hashem. I don't believe in Hashem. This person did hurt me, whatever it is. And the goal is to try and be able to separate and hold both at the same time. Good? Okay, yassel. All right, beautiful. Yair, Mata Omer Yair, nu. Yes. Okay, Yair, everybody, Yair. Okay, let's wrap up. So at the end of the day, Kisei Tehillim Elchama, we'll go for one last one if someone has something to add or to say. Kisei Tehillim Elchama Leivecha is, and it's funny, thank you, Akiva, because I really, a lot of times when we talk about this concept of believing that it's from Hashem, the natural thing is it becomes difficult. I respect your honesty to ask that question, to say I might not be there yet. I might still be in the world of that pain. And it's so important to know yourself, to speak to somebody, to have a friend, to have a Rebbe, to have someone who can help you, whether it's a therapist, whoever it might be, to be able to point out to you that maybe you're not over it, right? Maybe you're not over it, right? Maybe I can't move on, right? You guys all know. Right? You don't necessarily have to move on. You might have to
move in.
Move on. Don't move on. Maybe you have to feel the pain more, and then you'll be able to let go. Okay, let's do a Hilchos Lashon Hara. Any last question, comments? Ari, Yair, Shmuel? No, come on, guys. You can't be pointing at each other. So let's go. What's the show? Shmuel? Someone else as we wrap up? Yes, okay, Ari. Go, go. Go, Ari. Yeah.
explain why is it so hard for someone to like, see the greatest of themselves? Because it wouldn't be good, because then you're great.
Right. I mean, why is that?
Right.
First of all, it's for a whole separate discussion. Great question. First of all, there are a few reasons why. One reason that is, I think, true for me, and I think people might be able to connect to this, is because then you have a lot of expectations, and I got to do a lot, and it's like a pressure, it's a responsibility. So a little bit. I don't want to say that word so much. It's easier sometimes to be down and out sometimes. It's much harder to be like, wow, like I have a lot to accomplish. I have a lot to do. So I'm afraid to fail. I could fail if I don't have that. That could be one reason. There are many different reasons. Yeah, so I'm already down. Okay, let's do a Hilchos Lashon Hara and then we'll wrap up.
Abraham.
Are you on the front thing yet? I want to give a plug for Rabbi Simmons. If everyone knows, Rabbi Simmons over here offered. I would suggest, I think Wednesday night you're giving something.
Wednesday at 9 before Sefer Rabbah.
Okay, great. Rabbi Simmons wrote, there's a book called The 48 and has authored many amazing books. A big Talmud of Rabbi Weinberg, Rabbi Noach Weinberg. From Eshat Torah, wrote the book 48 Ways. So I just want to give a little plug for Rabbi Simmons to drink this Torah and his wisdom. Looking forward. Let's do a Hilchos. Who's got Avram?
Avram.
It's a very intense halacha.
It's a very intense halacha. We like intense halacha. We'll talk about it. Go.
Okay.
If a group is already talking Lashon Hara. If a group is already talking Lashon Hara and one comes over purposely in order to listen, or one finds company with people who often talk Lashon Hara, this person is called a posheya, someone who sins willfully. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol writes, which is a Tana, he says, keep away from groups who tend to talk Lashon Hara.
Yes.
For when Hashem writes down the conversations in the Sefer HaZichronos, all the participants, even the ones who didn't even open their mouths, will be given a terrible name, Chaburas Rasha.
Right. I love it.
Chavetz Chaim adds that you can't even live in a place where people habitually talk Lashon Hara.
Yes. That's why. Thank you, Avram. Over here, because no one here speaks Lashon Hara. Have an amazing first day of the rest of your life.